Welcome to Inside the Castle, the podcast that goes behind castle doors to have real conversations with real people about solving the nation's toughest challenges.
I'm one of your hosts today, Marie Kopka.
And I'm Aaron Schneider.
Welcome to today's episode of our People First series, where we celebrate unity, empowerment, and the diverse voices in our workplace to highlight our greatest asset, our people. We are excited to learn about the Institute for Water Resources Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Accessibility, or DEIA Council. And we have with us Dr. Richard Nugent III, the DEIA Council leader. Thank you, Richard, for joining us here today.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Richard, thanks for being here. And before we dive into this important topic, could you just tell us a little bit about yourself and your role with the Corps?
You bet. I completed my PhD in economics from the Graduate Center of the City University of New York in 2019. And the Corps of Engineers picked me up right then and there. I started working for the New York District Office, where I was the project economist on some flood risk management and coastal storm risk management studies. And I did a bit of navigation as well. My main focus at the district was using this tool called HECFDA, which is the Hydrologic Engineering Center Flood Damage Reduction Analysis Software Program. And I got pretty good at using the software, and I became to really dislike it. The software is not that easy to use, and is buggy, and the documentation made me unhappy. And the role for the HECFDA software lead came up, and I thought, man, I'm unhappy with this. Let's fix it. HEC thought that that was a good idea and picked me up out of the district in 2020, where I've served as the lead of HECFDA since. They brought me on to do a particular job, which was to release HECFDA version 2.0, and we are maybe a month from certifying that. I'm now working as the acting chief of the Water Resources Division, which is the division in which HECFDA resides, along with a few other pieces of software. And I'm working remotely now from Northern Illinois. I'm in Northern Illinois with my dog, Carlo, and my cat, Monty. I'm back where I grew up. I've had a whole crazy set of experiences in between Illinois and New York, and some experiences that have been really eye-opening. Things like being, you know, the only white guy at a quinceañera, or working on the southwest side of Chicago at an elementary school where I didn't look like anybody else. I felt how uncomfortable that can be, but I've also felt how, through a lot of these types of experiences that I've had in between Northern Illinois and Chicago, New York City, and California, where I felt also the value and the power of inclusion, feeling included, especially when I don't look like anybody else. I've had a unique set of experiences, I think, that helped me really value this experience, this opportunity that we have with the DEIA Council.
Thanks, Richard. And it sounds like we're really lucky to kind of nab you early on in your career, because it sounds like you've been doing some great things so far. And also, I know you said you live in Northern Illinois. I'm actually your neighbor. I live near Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So, yeah. So I understand that you recently became the leader of the DEIA Council. Can you tell us a little bit about the council?
That's right. Just in March, Kathy Schumann kicked the council off as the DEIA Council Chair, and she did a wonderful job and left me with some really big shoes to fill. This group is made up of members from within all of the centers in the Institute, and there are many. So the members in this council come from all across the nation. We have a mission, and I'm going to read you my mission because we worked very hard on it, and I want to tell you it word for word. Our mission is to embrace, improve, and sustain diversity, equity, inclusion, and accessibility within all components of the Institute for Water Resources and to promote a culture of respect and inclusiveness, initiate change where necessary, and to foster continued commitment by all IWR leaders and staff. This council recognizes that DEIA work is everybody's work, and we want to facilitate that and make it easy and maybe even fun.
Yeah, that sounds great, Richard. And it sounds like that is quite the expansive mission. Can you tell us maybe, can you break it down into some goals or some smaller pieces for us?
You bet. We've got goals. We have goals to take action to identify and address unconscious bias, and we've been doing training in that to that end. We have a goal to increase collective awareness of IWR DEIA principles by educating staff, and that is through that training. We seek to develop a more diverse and inclusive workforce, continuing IWR's commitment to eliminating discrimination and maintaining a culture that values DEIA. Another goal is to review policies and practices for the purpose of eliminating barriers, and advise on or recommend plans to the corporate board, the IWR corporate board, that provide an open environment and opportunities to exceed. That last goal, and these goals are written down on our charter, that last goal has been a big focus as of late, where we've had the opportunity to look at the set of existing IWR policies and compare them to the commitment that IWR has made to DEIA, and attempt to identify the locations and policy where the policy language is inconsistent with the commitment that IWR has made to DEIA. So that is a goal that has been a strong focus as of late, and we've recently delivered a report to the director of the Institute with feedback on ways to improve a number of the policies that could carry potentially significant impact for the culture.
Richard, do you mind sharing maybe a couple examples of those kind of recommendations?
Sure. I'm going to be a little bit general because we're still in, you know, draft phase of this report, and we only delivered it to the director this week, and we're waiting for his feedback. But there is a strategic direction that the director has developed for the Institute, and that strategic direction does not consider explicitly DEIA as an element of the strategic direction. It's in there, but we have encouraged the director to elevate the emphasis on DEIA in the Institute's strategic direction.
Thanks, Richard. I think it's really interesting to me that you've developed this council and you're working on this. And I haven't actually heard this concept before, of establishment of a council like this. You know, I've been familiar with some of the other activities that CORE has taken on DEI, but I was wondering, could you talk to our listeners a little bit about the importance of these types of councils and how it can impact the workforce?
You bet. So there needs to be a bag holder for any effort, right? There is an effort here. There is an opportunity that we strive for, that we're trying to achieve. And I think that the IWR Corporate Board recognizes that they own the responsibility, to their credit. And I think the Corporate Board set up the council to help them see to the actions required to achieve that opportunity, to help them see to it that those actions are completed.
That's a very valid point of needing someone to kind of hold that bag of responsibility, or the bag holder. So I guess on a more personal note, could you share with us what the council means to you personally? How does the council's work resonate with you on a personal level?
You bet. Okay, so what does the council mean to me? I think it's about excellence. I think that IWR does really great work. Right, we're known for doing very good work. And the human capital at IWR, the technical capabilities of the staff is, you know, just outstanding. That said, there is an opportunity to achieve excellence. And I think that we can achieve technical excellence by fostering excellence in our culture. So this to me is how we get the Institute to the next phase of our growth and how we achieve excellence. It's by fostering this really wonderful culture and allowing all of our really bright people at IWR to just flourish in this culture and come up with all of the creative solutions that IWR is known so well for coming up with.
Thanks, Richard. When I hear you talk about the culture, in some of our other podcasts on DEI, we've talked about that being like bringing a sense of belonging or family and making sure that everybody is involved and can participate and can have their perspectives equally shared. Would you be able to talk a little bit about some of the success of this initiative and how you see those benefits playing out across IWR?
So the idea of feeling included is so powerful. When you feel included as part of a team, you want to work hard for that team, right? And you're excited to work with that team. And you bring your best self and you bring your best work. And so all of the ways that we can work on to make people feel like they're included, to make everybody feel like they're included. Whether it's thinking about more inclusive language, or it's thinking about the way that we set up our professional development activities, ways that we can make people feel excited about contributing to their team because they feel included on that team. That's how we're going to achieve that excellence. That's how we're going to achieve the success that we want, that we have our eye on.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I really love that you emphasize that inclusion and being a successful team, because, you know, the teams that I've seen be the most successful have been the most inclusive to people for whatever reason. It's just letting people be able to express their perspective and have their say. And you're right, they really have fun and they want to see the job get done. Nobody wants to be the one that doesn't have it happen because of them. So they're all more successful as a result. So inclusion, I think, is applicable in so many instances within the core. I know you mentioned earlier a little bit about, you know, some training and opportunities. How are you going about, I don't know if it's right to say training people to be more inclusive, but training on awareness? Like, what are you actually doing here to help improve that from a training perspective?
We reached out to people who know what they're doing, because that's not us, right? I am a software developer. I am not a DEIA subject matter expert. And I don't think that anybody at IWR is. And so we had to reach out for help. And we've partnered with this wonderful organization called ILIF. We can get the definition of that acronym later. So we partnered with this wonderful organization called ILIF, and they're helping us with developing our skills as a council and growing as a council in growing our capabilities for identifying opportunities and pursuing strategic direction toward achieving those opportunities, as well as training the entire staff in ways to improve our culture, such as with developing a greater awareness for microaggression. Right? Microaggressions are super common in all cultures. And everybody experiences them. It's a cost. It's a cost to how your culture operates, because the microaggression makes you feel excluded, right? It's a little bit of pain, and it's a sting of exclusion. So one of the trainings that ILIF brought was on microaggressions and helping to become a little bit more self-aware of how others can perceive what you're communicating. Because I don't think that anybody at IWR wants to come off as aggressive or offensive. And so there's just this little piece of learning that we're all trying to do and that ILIF is facilitating in helping us to become more aware.
So Richard, you mentioned this great opportunity to make IWR an even better place to work for everybody. Can you share with us some of the challenges that the council faces as well?
I think the greatest challenge that we face is keeping this effort to be a main priority. Because all of the people on the council, we all have, let's say, day jobs, right? Like I said, I'm a software developer. Other people on the council have roles such in contracting, in modeling, in risk assessment, in all of these other different main focuses that are constantly tearing at your attention. But then everybody also does this work because we care so much about it. And so we have to constantly fight to elevate its priority. But we do. We do. Because it's so important and because we see how valuable the next step is.
Switching gears for a little bit here. You had mentioned that the council reviews IWR policy. So it sounds like you work pretty closely with the leadership there. How does the council coordinate with other departments or other teams within the core?
There are a few ways that we have partnered with the Institute. And the first is by seeing to it that our council membership is reflective of all of the centers at IWR. So all of the centers have representation on the DEI Council. And the second part to partnering with the Institute is through our seat on the corporate board, right? So the corporate board stood us up owning the responsibility of the DEIA work and asking us to share in that work with them. And so they reached out to us and partnered with us and offered us a seat on the corporate board to be able to engage in this work and to be able to weigh in as the senior leaders are making decisions about how the Institute should run.
So Richard, I find this really interesting, and I'm sure our listeners would love to learn more or maybe just learn more about themselves. Is there something you would recommend that they do or a place they could go to get a better understanding of things that they can do?
Harvard has set up this test available to the public called the Implicit Association Test. Google that, spend a few minutes going through those questions. You may be surprised at what you learn.
All right, well, we'll encourage our listeners to go out there and take the test. I think it's always good to learn about yourself and to be aware. And Richard, unfortunately, we're nearing the end of our time here, but I was wondering, are there any final thoughts that you would like to leave with our listeners or anything else you'd like to add?
Absolutely. I think that I want folks to think of DEIA as a way to build up our team. DEIA is not about trying to slap wrists. It's not about trying to build on processes. It's another lens at building effective teams by making everybody feel included and including people in ways where they can contribute their best. And this is how we achieve excellence.
Thank you, Richard. I couldn't agree more. And thank you for sharing your story and telling us more about IWR's DEIA Council. We appreciate you and your insights. To our listeners, we want to hear from you, what topics are important to you, and who you're interested in hearing from. Until next time, be safe, be innovative, and tell your story. All right, that's a wrap.
Thanks for joining us for this Inside the Castle podcast. To provide your feedback, email us at cw.infrastructure.team@usace.army.mil. Stay tuned for additional Inside the Castle podcasts as we explore life inside the core and revolutionize civil works together.